As we look on the fifth chapter of Joshua, I want to just look back a little bit on what we've talked about the last five times we've gathered together about this. The story of Joshua is a story about how God led his people into the promised land. If you remember that God made a covenant with his people, he brought forth Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. The people that came out of Egypt rebelled against God. And God said, since you've rebelled, you will not see the promised land, but your ancestors will. And it tells us that Moses had died, and God chose Joshua to be the new leader of his people. And he was telling Joshua that he gave the people every place that they set their feet in the promised land. God promised that he would never leave nor forsake them. We remember that promise was that God was not going to let go of them. He had tightly hold of them. He was not going to let go. He also told Joshua to be strong and courageous, implying to Joshua, not in the sense that we think of it today, but in the sense of being fastened to or holding on to God's word and being faithful to God, because it says that God told them to be careful and obey the law that my servant Moses gave you, to meditate on it day and night, and if you did, you'd be prosperous and succeed in this new land. We remember that Joshua sent spies over and found that all the people there were already scared to death because they had heard all the things that God had done with the Israelites leading them to that place. And Rahab was this lady they met up with who gave them a safe refuge, and they promised that they would not kill her when they came back into the promised land of Canaan. It tells us that they went up to the Jordan River, and that early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out. They went to Jordan, they camped there, but then the time came when they would cross the Jordan, if you remember, that the priests that were carrying the ark were to go up to the Jordan, and they were to just set foot into the Jordan River, and as soon as their feet touched the water divided and dammed up as far north as Adams to the north, some 16 or 17 miles to the north, and millions of Israelites, God's people, crossed over into the promised land going through the Jordan River on dry ground. And when the priests came up out of the Jordan River went back to its original state, which was a flood state. We also remember that God told Joshua to appoint 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, to go into the river where the priests stood in the ark and take a stone and bring it out, and he piled it up as a pillar of testimony so that in the days and years to come, when they looked at that, they would remember all that God had done for them. So there they were. They crossed the Jordan. It was almost as if there they were, they had gone through, the Jordan River was now flowing behind them, and there they stood, probably thinking, now what? Now what? This was not the end of the road for them. They had entered the promised land, but there were still battles to be fought. And it tells us in the very first part of chapter 5 that the Amorite kings of the west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan, and their hearts melted, and they had no longer any courage to face the Israelites. The whole area of Canaan was terrified of these people because of what God had done in their lives, how he had delivered them and brought them to this promised land. And it tells us that at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeah Araloth. Now, that's what I want to talk about today is circumcision and covenant. If you remember, when God spoke to Abram back in the 17th chapter of Genesis, Abram was 90 years old. The Lord said, walk before me and be blameless, and I'll confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase you in numbers. You'll be the father of many nations, God said to Abram. The whole land of Canaan, where you're now an alien, I'll give to you as an everlasting possession, and your descendants after you, and I'll be your descendants' God. And the covenant was that every male was to be circumcised. For generations to come, every male was to be circumcised when they were 8 days old. And any uncircumcised male who was not circumcised in the flesh would be cut off from God's people because he had broken a covenant. Now, this word circumcised in the Hebrew text, in the ancient Hebrew text, meant to cut off or to cut around. In a covenant, which is an agreement between certain parties, each party agrees to something, but ultimately they have to give something up, right? And God was calling out to Abram, saying, trust in me, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And my covenant is going to be an everlasting covenant, and the sign of that is you are to circumcise yourself as the sign that you are my people. In other words, the men, the Jewish men, had to give something up, but it would be an everlasting sign of the whole Jewish people from then on that they were to be circumcised, signifying that they were God's people. And God's promise and covenant was, if you do this for me, you will be a mighty nation, an everlasting nation, of which, if you study any of the genealogy, Jesus, the nation from which Jesus came from. Moses told the people in Deuteronomy 10, after they had wandered around the desert and complained about all the things and the situations, he said to them, circumcise your hearts. And don't be stiff-necked. In other words, what he was saying to them is, cut out the hardness of your hearts, because their hearts have become hardened. Cutting off, removing that old hardened part of their hearts. When Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 2, he said to them, circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you've not been circumcised. Now, I want to talk about the people of God. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the people of God were the Jews. God chose the Jews. They were His chosen people. We have to remember that everyone on earth is not God's people. Because if they were, God would have said to the Jews, you go into Canaan and you make up with those people and I want you all to be unified. No, we're going to find out in the next few weeks. God said to His people, you went in and killed all. The reason was they were idolaters. They were sexually immoral and they were worshiping other gods and not living lives pleasing to God. And that's important in the covenant with God. God says, walk blameless before me, have faith in me, and live according to my statutes in the old covenant. And God chose the Jewish people as his own people, and the sign was the circumcision of the flesh. In the new covenant, as Paul started to deal with this issue, the Gentiles were becoming Christians. And the debate was, do the Gentiles have to be circumcised? And Paul says to the Romans, circumcision only has value if you observe the law, and if you break the law, you've just become like one who's not been circumcised at all. Because if those who are not circumcised keep the law, then they will not be regarded as though they were uncircumcised. The one who's not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn even you, who though you have the written code and are circumcised, break the law. What Paul was trying to tell the Romans is that those people who were Gentiles before and are now Christians, they're living according to the law better than those of you who are Jews and were circumcised. Paul said, a man is not a Jew if he's only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. The circumcision is the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. So in the New Covenant, Paul is saying that the circumcision happens inside a believer in Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit comes in and cuts away the hardness and the oldness of the hardened heart and renews the right spirit inside us. Again in Romans chapter 4, Paul says, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before?
It was before he was circumcised that he was credited as righteous by God. Why? Because he had faith in God. And Paul says he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. For if those who live by the law are heirs, then faith is in the promise through Jesus Christ. It's not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. It was through the righteousness that comes by faith. So we start to see Paul is saying in the Old Covenant, those who had faith in God and accepted the God of Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah, as their God, were circumcised in the flesh. Now in the New Covenant, those who have received God in Jesus Christ are God's chosen people, and the circumcision is no longer of the flesh. It's of the heart inside by the Holy Spirit. And it's all based on God's promise. Paul said to the Corinthians, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. The oldness has been circumcised and cut out of us. And John tells us in the first chapter that he came to his own. Jesus came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to those who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. How do we become children of God? Through believing in and receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's what the Bible tells us. That in the New Covenant, we are God's children and His chosen people through Jesus Christ and receiving Him. John tells us in chapter 3, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the covenant. That's the promise that God makes to us, that if we believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Savior, that the oldness is cut out of us, our hardened hearts are cut out, and God gives us a new spirit and receives us as His children.
As we look at this Joshua story, these people had faith in God. God told them to do these things. Go to the Jordan. There was a flood stage. They didn't complain. God says, take the ark. Put your feet in the water. The water parted. They went over. Build a pillar so you remember what I've done here today. But the question was, why did He do it for these people? He wanted to remind them that you were my chosen covenant people. So He said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise all the men. Because we're going in. You're my chosen people, and the sign that you're my chosen people is the sign of the covenant. I want you to think about something here. In our lives today, in the journey that we're on, and day by day in our lives, as we're confronted with these issues that seem to flood into our lives like the Jordan flooded before these people, God doesn't say, jump in. It's a leap of faith. Hold your breath and jump in. It's a step-by-step journey of faith. And it's not a leap of faith like leaping over a cliff. It's a step of faith, one step at a time, up, 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 closer to God. Because every time we take that step, we look back and we see the stone, the pillar of testimony. I was there, but now I'm here, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm here. And we begin to have that faith in God. We remember that God promised us, if we trust Him and have faith in Him, He will lead us into the promised land. He will bless us, we'll be prosperous, and we'll be His chosen people by faith. And that faith comes when our hearts are circumcised by the Holy Spirit through receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I want to share a Joshua experience with you folks here this morning. In February of 2003, my wife and I and our two children left our new home. And we left our business. Just completely gave it up. And moved to Clearfield County and lived in a little rural town south of Clearfield. Because I felt God calling me there in pastoral ministry. And you talk about
feeling like you're wandering. But I felt God's calling saying, I want you to go there because this is a land where you're going to be blessed. And it was. It was a great experience. In the fall of 2003, at 42 years of age, because of the requirements of the United Methodist Church, I had to go back to college to fulfill educational requirements. Boy, I'll tell you, you talk about feeling like I was standing in a flooded river, 42 years old. I learned one thing. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's just a matter of getting him to remember them. So I started in the fall of 2003, enrolling in and going to classes at Lock Haven University's Clearfield campus, a brand new campus that they had built in Clearfield, and went there for 2 years getting a lot of general education courses that you're required to take in college. But after 2 years, I felt God calling me to transfer my credits to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois, and continue my studies there towards a degree in biblical studies. So I began doing that through distance learning online and by other means. I'll tell you, there wasn't a moment of that time in the last 8 years that I didn't feel like I was wandering around, that I didn't feel like I was facing a flooded river and how was I going to get to the other side. What a scary situation, unsure for me, but it was so neat that last Thursday, and I had hoped to have this last Sunday when I was talking about a pillar of testimony, last Thursday I received this in the mail. This is my diploma from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And what's pretty neat about it is Moody just celebrated their 125th year of being a college started by D.L. Moody in 1886. One of the signatures of the trustees on this, really neat, this is what's so cool about it, is Jerry Jenkins. Jerry Jenkins was the author of the Left Behind series. He's one of the trustees out there. If all goes well, and the Lord willing, we're going out to Chicago in May to participate, so I can participate in graduation in the historic Moody Church and walk around with a gown and cap on with all the kids, you know. But what is so amazing about this is that I feel right now like I'm in the promised land. Because for me, this is a pillar of testimony that every step of the way, every book that I had to read, every paper I had to write, as painful as it was, as mind-boggling and tiring as it was, God was there every step of the way. And that's the way it is in life. God's not going to ask us to do something that's easy. Because when we do, it's a no-brainer, and we don't grow in our faith. It's through this journey and these things that seem so hard to us that God brings us up and says, you're my chosen people. You have faith in me. And if you have faith in me, you will continue to go on. Now, I know that the war's not over. I feel like I've won a battle, but I know the war's not over. Because now I have to start a 5-year course of study, and I'll be traveling to Ohio to one of the Methodist theological seminaries out there for the next 5 years. So, is it mind-boggling? Yeah, it is. But you want to know something? God tells me, right here, that if I have faith, I'm going all the way. Because that's what the story of Joshua tells us. And I hope that you folks are learning this as we go along in the book of Joshua. That God's chosen people are people of faith. Faith in God. Faith to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. At which point the Holy Spirit comes in and rips out the old. And we're in Christ, we're a new creation. We're God's children, born again, born of the Spirit. And God says, yeah, I want you to go over there, I want you to go there, I want you to go there, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to do this. And I'm going to part the river for you. I'm going to part the sea for you. I'm going to provide everything that you need. And you know what's going to happen when you get there? You've been eating manna for 40 years. When you get there, you're going to be amazed at how refreshing fruit of the land. The manifestations of all the blessings that I have there for you are going to be. It's a great encouragement to me to read how God led his people, how they came up against insurmountable odds. And I know you folks are too in your lives today. I don't care whether you're a farmer whether you're a mechanic in a garage, whether you're a clerk in a store, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a student from kindergarten to college age, whether you're an at-home mom, no matter how old you are, none of that matters. None of it matters. If we are God's chosen people, and you've received God's promise and covenant through Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us no weapon forged against us will prosper. But because He's greater than all that, He's above the Canaanites, He's greater than the swollen river, He's more powerful than the great Red Sea. The God who provided all that His people have needed from page one to the end in the Bible is our God. And I want you to know that this week, He's right there beside you every step of the way. No matter where you are, God is working His will for good in your life. And I hope next Sunday as we gather back together and continue on, they're getting ready to destroy Jericho. And I know a lot of us are familiar with the story about Jericho, and I have some great things to share with you about this that will make the story even greater and hopefully increase your faith and encourage you day by day. But here they sit. God has delivered them into the promised land. The Jordan River is now flowing back behind them. God's saying, I want you to dedicate yourself to me. I promise I'm giving you all that out there. You're my people. Don't forget. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for the hope that we have in Your promise to us. That in Christ Jesus we have everlasting life, that we have hope every day, that we're new creations, new creatures in Christ, and that nothing in this life can overcome us if we trust in You. Lord, You know all of our hearts here this morning. You already know what that man, what that woman, what that young girl, what this married couple, what this lady, this teacher, this student, this retired person, this housewife, You know what they're about to face. Please, Lord, enter into our lives this week to remind us that we are Yours and You will never leave us nor forsake us. That through Christ Jesus, we're circumcised in the heart, we're new creations, and we are Your children. And You will not let us go. In Christ's name, amen. Let's turn in our hymnals as we close to 672. Let's stand and sing together.